Hebrews chapter 11, and if you got a Bible in front of you, Hebrews chapter 11, someone might like to come and read verses 4 to 7, only three verses, four to seven inclusive. So Hebrews chapter 11, if you found it, come and do those that reading for us, verses 4 to 7 inclusive. 4 to 7 inclusive. A voice that I haven't heard before coming up here, and would like to do that reading. Who has been before? And it's found in Hebrews, absolutely. It's in the New Testament, towards the end. And it starts with H. Finishes with S. Okay, Ian. Faith is very difficult to define, because I wish that when you come to church, you get so spurred by what you get, and when you go out of here, you'll be full of faith and enthusiasm, and you'll have no problem. But faith is not a concept. Faith is not an idea. The scripture reminded us last week that faith is a substance. Faith is not just a good religious term that you can define. Faith is something that you will have to learn to live out. Let me give you an example. I can talk to you about when I go to take photographs on the mountains, how beautiful it is, the sunrise, how incredible that is, and I can even show you the picture. But what I can't describe to you is what it means to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, sometimes if I go in the winter, in the cold, terrible wind, and walk all the way up the mountain in the dark with a torch on my head, and get there for about 5 o'clock, 5:30 sunrise. Now, it's really hard work to get there. But once I'm there, and for those 5 minutes, what they call the golden hour of photography, for those 5 minutes when the sun, the golden, pink, beautiful light of the sun comes out, and it comes over the mountain and over the incredible scenery of clouds, I feel closer to God than ever before, than I ever been, than ever place I will ever be. It's an incredible, I cannot describe that. It's the same with faith. All I can do here for you, I can give you a key for you to take, put it in your car, call faith, and go on a journey. Faith is a journey, it's not a destination. All I can give you here this morning is to give you that little key and for you to go on that journey and experience faith as it is really. When you go to have turns and you go to the dark in the winter, in the summer, in the rain and everything else, and you have to trust that your brakes work, your car takes whatever it takes you. That's what faith is all about. Faith is not a church thing. It's not a pew kind of concept. It is a walk with God. It is a journey that we go day by day with Him. Faith grows, develops, and roots within us as we begin to trust God, not in church, not in a Bible study, not even a Bible reading, but on a journey with Him. And I'm sure if I were to ask you, tell me when you experience God at the most, you'll probably stand up very quickly and say, yes, I was on a whatever circumstance of life that I was going through, and I had to trust God. And that's where my faith grew. That's why I began to obey Him, to trust Him, and to see God at work in my life. That's what faith is all about. It's a substance. It is not a concept that we go through. Faith is a perspective. Let me put it this way. It's a perspective because I have to choose every day how I look at life. Usually I'm a gloomy person. I look at life, Brexit comes, and all that stuff. Faith is a perspective that I choose to live with day by day. And the manual to give me that, the kind of revelation that I get that comes from here, from God's Word. And that's why I was praying in our worship this morning, in the song chosen, that God will open the eyes of our hearts, that we see the Lord. Now, faith is a gift from God. It's a gift from God that we begin to see and understand His glory and the journey that we are on with Him. It's more than just a knowledge about God. It is walking with Him, trusting Him. It is day by day living for Him and with Him in the circumstances of life. Up in the valley, up on the mountain, down in the valley. God tests our faith all the time, and He needs to tune it, to sharpen it, so that we may begin to trust Him more and more. Faith comes down as a gift, and we must exercise that faith that we have it, or you will begin to wither and die if we don't. If we don't, the scripture says this: Lord, increase our faith. I said to you last week that this is what my prayer is, that during this series, God will increase our faith. Not a concept, not an idea, but actually our walk with Him in and by faith. This is what the scripture, when it says, we walk by faith. Noah walked by faith. Enoch walked by faith. Abel walked by faith. That's what it means. It is a journey with God of trust and obedience. Trust and obey, as I'm going to sing a bit later on. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Look at that. Think about that. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Very difficult to take that in. In order to see the importance of that verse, I would like to unpack very briefly to you, looking at Cain and Abel's life, and then Enoch and Noah, and then someone else's life here of faith. Now, by faith, the scripture tells us very quickly that Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. You remember those two brothers, the children of Adam and Eve. They grew up together. Cain was the older brother, Abel was the younger one. We don't have much information about them, a part of what this Hebrew and a little bit of what the scripture gives us in Genesis. And in Genesis it says that God looked with favor on Abel and his offering. Do you remember Cain brought to God some offering, a part of the religious understanding of how to relate to God? He brought some corn, something of his harvest, but Abel brought to God some of the firstborn of his sheep, or whatever it was there in the scripture, of his animals. And the scripture says that God looked with favor on Abel's sacrifice offering than on Cain's offering to him. Cain represents the kind of faith that I want to manufacture and I want God to be pleased with it. It's the kind of faith that I want to live by my own standards, in my own ideas and my own traditional way, that I want to give it to God. But it's mine, the one I want to make. And I want God to be pleased with it. Whether he likes it or not, that's what I'm going to produce. Abel's is opposite. Abel produced a faith that God wanted and was pleased with. And sometimes we need to be careful, and that's why I bring this as a reminder, that our faith is merely a concept at times. And when we have and we hit difficulties and struggles, then of course we struggle. In which we blame God, in which we blame, I don't know, church, friends, relatives, Theresa May, wherever it is. Faith is a journey in which we try and please God with the faith that he's given us as a gift. This is, this is what I want to bring that reminder. Be warned, be careful of presenting to God the faith that is in your own terms, that is manufactured and made by you, whether out of tradition, whether out of your own interpretation of scripture, whether it's a concept only, rather than a journey, that you put your trust and obedience into God's hand. Secondly, very quickly going through those, by faith Enoch was taken from this life. We know this guy, there were two people in the scripture, Enoch and Elijah. Those two people, they were so intimately walking with God that they've never seen death. God has taken them into his kingdom, straight into his presence, without tasting or seeing or going through the process of death. And this is what Hebrew tells us about him. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, again, come to verse 6. It is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. If the story of Cain and Abel seems short, the story of Enoch is even shorter. It's very, very tiny by comparison. In just four brief verses in Genesis, says that Enoch lived 65 years. He became the father of Methuselah when he was 65. And then look what happened. As he became a father, after he became a father, something happened in his heart, something happened in his life that he began to understand the heart of God the Father. That after he had his firstborn, as he held that little baby in his hand, the scripture says that after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch faithfully, walked faithfully with God. Sometimes experiences in our lives do bring us into a proper understanding of what it means to have faith in God. I think I said this to you before. Before we had our boys, I was all over the place, mentally, spiritually, and so on. And I'll never forget the time when I held our firstborn, Josh, into my hand at 3:15 in the afternoon, 21st of April, 1995, in a Solihull hospital. Because I grew up without a dad, it was very difficult for me to understand God's heart as a father to me. It was all the time disinterested, distant, and so on. I had the privilege to stay about 2 years at home and change, I don't know how many hundreds of nappies for Josh to understand what God's love is like. A moment of faith that has changed and transformed not only my faith in God, but my journey with Him and my life forevermore since then. Understanding God's life and faith in Him sometimes comes through the experiences that He brings to us. Enoch walked faithfully with God. And he lived how many more years after that? 300. Imagine living 365 years. And when you ask people, what do you regret, especially Christians, disciples of Jesus, what do you regret mostly in life? They will say, I regret the time when I didn't walk with God. Some of us have come to Christ when we are in our 20s, some of us in our 40s, in our 60s, whatever. And when you ask them, what do they regret the most? They will say, I regret the time I've spent walking with without faith, walking without God. Enoch had that kind of experience and he walked with God faithfully. Then he was no more because God took him away. I love that. What an incredible story that is. God wants us to understand that Christian life is a walk. It's a journey which requires dedication, courage, and persistence. I did a bit of research. This is the guy who, the first gentleman, what's his name? David Kirst, who walked the whole of the world, the whole globe, for the first time ever. And he finished that on October 5th, 1974. Did you know that it's debatable if he is the first? He's another guy in Romania who he thinks he finished, 45 minutes before him. But he's Romanian, so nobody takes him in consideration. Nobody believes it. And this is the guy who did that. And I think this is what, when the interviewer is, because he's on, you can find him on YouTube, but on the interview, that one of the interviews that he had, he said that I had to self-surrender, I had to abandon my friends, to fully yield my life to this cause, and I had the intense desire to help others, because he did it for a charity, whatever. But he walked 115,000 miles. He used 22 pairs of shoes and he healed 2 mules. I don't know how he managed to do that, but he did. I think they were just tired or whatever that he had to carry his luggages. This is what Christian life is all about. It is walking at a price with a sacrifice in our heart. And let me remind you who this God is that we walk alongside and with. It's in the scripture, especially in the Psalms, we find that God is clothed himself with honor and majesty. This is the kind we walk with. He covers himself with light as with a garment. He is the one who stretched out the heavens. He is the one who made the clouds and dwells on the wings of wind. He ministers a flaming fire. He's the God who causes the grass to grow. Is the God who says the moon and the stars and the sun in his place. This is the kind of God that we're walking with. What a vista he presents before us. I guess that's why I like landscape photography, because I just get so close to God when I see the beauty, the splendor of his creation, the glory and the majesty of who God is. And certainly and finally, we talk about one guy called Noah. We know the story of Noah. It's the story that our children know. We read it today at bedtime and so on and so forth. That God has told Noah to build an ark, and it took a few years before the rain came. Yet by faith, Noah was warned about things not yet seen. He had to wait a long, long time for the rain to come. In holy fear, built that ark to save his family. Also in Genesis, the Bible tells us that Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. And he, what did he do? Walked with God. It's an incredible privilege to learn that our faith is a walk with God. It's a not one-time experiment. It's a not one-time experience. It is a journey. It is an incredible privilege. If Abel represents the journey in search of God's acceptance. Enoch takes us on the journey of intimacy with God. Then Noah shows us the journey of courage. In spite of everything that was around him, in spite of the society, the evil that he was seeing around him, he continued to faithfully walk with God. Noah had enough faith to inspire all of the people in his family. You know what the scripture says about us? It says, you go in and bash the people with scripture and show them how good you are so that their faith will increase. I doubt it. The scripture says, you are living testimonies. What kind of faith people see in us when they look at us? When they watch us? Are we that kind of living testimony of faith in Christ in spite of all that is around us? Do people see in us faithfulness even when we get cancer? When we struggle financially? When bereavement strikes? When betrayal hits? People look at us and read us as living testimonies. How does our faith express what we live in real life? If faith that we have as a concept is not transforming others as we walk as living testimonies, then we have to rethink our belief in God. Noah believed so deeply and obeyed so completely and walked so intimately with God that it was natural for his family to follow him. There were only 8 people saved when Noah went into the ark. Him and his wife, his 3 sons and their wives too. And of course all the animals that went in. It is by faith and faith alone. Noah, a non-conformist. He didn't care what the world would have thrown at him and what they said to him. He did exactly what he felt God wanted him to do, to obey him. He was fully obedient to God. The people God uses are people who follow directions without making excuses. That was the guy that Noah was. He was available and probably may say, and I think I said this to you many times before, but availability is more important than ability. Making available yourself, your gifting to God is more important than what you can actually do for him. You're a living testimony that God will use even when you walk to the valley of the shadow of death, of cancer, of difficulties. God will use you as a living testimony. And then he was a very humble guy. You know what it means to be humble? To have humility is never give up in spite of the circumstances that we see daily in our lives. That's Noah. One of the real tests of faith in life is, how do I follow God's will? Do I follow his instruction even when they don't make sense? That's what Noah did. Do I follow his promises even when I don't understand them? That's what Enoch did. And at the end of this chapter, as I said to you before, the writer says there were others who walked by faith. I do not have the time, the writer says here, to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and so on. Others who have been commended for their faith. Now, I've asked someone in this fellowship to come and give a little bit of faith testimony. So, Jackie, how are you feeling? Are you okay? So there, Jackie, give her a good clap, because she deserves it. Jackie, walking by faith. Thank you.
This is year 5, and I'm due to go to June 2020, God willing. And there's my faith in accepting right now that I'm home for medical reasons. I don't really understand what that's about, and when, by faith, he will open those doors to allow me to go back or not to go back. The kind of thing that's been really helpful while I've been here is such days as yesterday. We had a wonderful retreat day for women, and I found the nurturing aspect of that really, really important. And I think it's really helpful when you are walking in faith to, by testimony, witness to your sisters, as we did yesterday, and to others in your congregation. And I am blessed in Cambodia to be working in a Christian school as a counsellor. And many of you will know my start-off story is that I had no plans to go to Cambodia at all. And when the opportunity presented itself, I thought, well, where is this country? I don't even know where it is. And there were many, many doubts as I sat crying on the plane as I made that journey to Cambodia. And all I knew really about it was that it had an awful Holocaust at one point as well. And we might be remembering that today because today's Holocaust Memorial Day. And so Amelia just said, what does faith and walking by faith means to me in spite of our doubts and fears? And I found a couple of quotes which I just found useful. And it was, just as courage is persisting in the face of fear, so faith is persisting in the presence of doubt. And personally, I know that when I have doubted and been fearful in my faith, it's absolutely been that which has deepened my faith with God. It's when I've asked questions. It's not when it's been unquestionable and everything is smooth. It is in those moments, like when you are challenged, I can't speak personally, but by cancer and by adversity and by losing your home and being in a bombed-out country, that these are the times when faith is really, when it's truly, truly tested and is a challenge of continuing to believe. And another quote that I found and really touched me was that perhaps there's no suffering greater than what is caused by the doubts of those who want to believe. You know, when we want to believe, I was with a woman on Wednesday in ROI. She's a very good friend's mum. She's very, very poorly. And her faith journey, like my own, has been very in and out over the years. She's very elderly, like I said, very poorly. And I asked if I could pray with her, and we did. And I know that right at the end, and what a wonderful thing to happen, she sadly died on Thursday afternoon, that her faith journey was complete, and that she undoubtedly is with the Lord now. Amen. But it's that no suffering greater than what is caused by the doubts of those who want to believe. But for her, and the person who's writing this, these torments were the process by which faith is deepened. And I know that in my own book, that surely is the case. And I talked to a number of women yesterday, and we were saddened. It's a bit of a giveaway, really. It was the mums amongst us who have seen not only our own journeys in and out, but that we are witnessing and worried about our children. I have a son who's in London now, 26, dead proud of him, doing very well academically and in his job. Nowhere near God at the moment, nowhere near him at all. His faith, like my own when I left home and went off to college, was nowhere to be seen, nowhere to be witnessed. I led a very ungodly life, and there's been many times along the way. And people would say, well, what witness is that? Where was your faith at those times? And I don't even think I can answer that now. But what I do know about my son, and what I know about sharing with other mums, is that having laid the groundwork, and bringing them into the church and nurturing them and reading those Bible studies and Bible stories at night, my son, whilst he, in his faith, has lost hold on God right now. I know God hasn't lost his hold on him. And I know that's how my faith remains strong too, in and out, though it has been all over those years. And I would like at this point to believe that my faith grows stronger. But who knows, there will be challenges again along the way. And I hope and pray that I can continue to witness. Thank you.
Thank you. The journey of faith is that's called to Cambodia as a council. The journey of faith is that continues as a parent, our children, and so on. Thank you for your honesty, and thank you for that very, very deep word and prophetic, in a sense, word of faith on the journey that you are on, Jackie. Now, I'm just going to close with two or three things before we come to a time of prayer, both individually and also as a time of intercession. Remind us the Holocaust Day today, and Lawrence also remind us to pray for our situation here in the country. So before we done, let me just make a couple of two observations, just a couple of minutes, your patience, please. It's in order to walk in faith, we have to make Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. There is no sugar-coated about that. We walk, you know, Psalm 23 starts with the words, "The Lord is my shepherd." When I walk to the valley of the shadow of death, I need to know that the Lord is my shepherd, that that shepherd that I walk with, that guides me with his rod and his staff, that he is my Lord. I need to know that for sure. You need to know that in your heart. Another observation that I want to make is that as we trust in him, we need to learn to let go. And in the most difficult situations of life, we need to learn to listen to God. That his discipline and the circumstances that we go through, it doesn't mean that he doesn't love us. It means that he sometimes sharpens our faith and brings a closer time of intimacy with him. Also, we must learn to walk with the Lord, and not only to walk with him, but to keep in step with him. Sometimes we go ahead in a rush, or sometimes we stay behind. And yet sometimes we walk on different path altogether. I pray that the Lord will open the eyes of your heart, that in your faith you will continue to walk close to God. And if you feel you are far away from him, wherever you are in your walk with him, as Jackie said, it's not that God has let off of your hand, but you have might just taken another route. And I pray that the Lord will give you the strength to come back to the path that leads to his leading. To his leading. And we also have to pursue above everything else this journey of faith, knowing that, okay, I said at the beginning that it's not a destination, but it does have a goal and an end in mind. Look at this verse here. "They will walk with me, dressed in white, for they are worthy. The one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels." My brothers and sisters, we are on a journey not of speculations. We have a faith that comes out not from speculating, from just reading the scripture and making our own mind, but out of the revelation that came from the cross. It is my prayer today that as we walk with Christ, your faith will come out not just an academic exercise, a concept of speculation, but fully of a revelation of God's love for you. And that's what I want to say this morning. Real faith that will carry you through the valley and the mountains, the shadow of death and the sunny Saint-Tropez beaches. It'll be the one that comes out from a full revelation of God's love for you. For you and it. The worship group is going to come up and lead us in a song that we'll reflect on that. I want you, during that song, and in light of what you've heard this morning, look at these questions and ask the Lord, "Lord, am I walking with you? am I walking in a tradition, in a faith that I desire, that came, that I want you to be pleased with, and not vice versa? And if you are not close to God, ask the Lord to come close to you, to reopen that door for you today. So let's just spend a moment or two as the worship group will lead us in one of the songs, and then we'll continue to bring our prayers, both individuals and corporate, and assess it before God.